And our Father, we thank you for another time this afternoon to fellowship. Thank you for the revelation that your word always brings to our hearts. We ask this afternoon that you flood our understanding with yours, that questions are answered, doubts are dissolved, myths are unraveled, and together as a church we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. And all this is glorified, as we're edified, built up by the power of the Holy Spirit, alongside those who hear us. And the body of Christ. Amen. Are we here? Ephesians chapter 3. Alright, learning something here? You sure? Verse 16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory. Glory is what language? Temple language. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, now unto him, that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ, verse 21, or Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Then he says, amen. So you see, amen is not how you close the letter. It's not, amen simply means faithful. It's the Old Testament word aman, A-M-A-N. It's the same word you just said, verily, verily, I say unto you. It means amen, amen, I say. It means faithful, reliable. So an aman is another way to describe God. He is faithful. He will not change, right? That's a man. So when we say, in Jesus' name, amen, we're actually repeating ourselves. We're saying, the name of Jesus is amen. Is that clear? The name of Jesus is faithful. The name of Jesus is reliable. And all that. So now, by saying this, by using aman or amen, Paul is saying, this is new covenant. Aman is another way to call new covenant. New covenant simply means to renew what you have said. Okay, the way you renew your license, you renew an approval, you renew, you just renew it, or the way you repair something that's broken down. So when you say amen, and you say new covenant, and you say faithful God, you're saying the same thing. Now, in this same regard, when Paul prayed this prayer, and he says, be filled with the fullness of God. I want us to focus on that now. Earlier we have said that the New Testament gives background to the Old. The Old Testament gives background to the Old Testament. I say it like this. I said, the background of the New Testament is the Old Testament. The foreground of the Old Testament is the New Testament. You build the New Testament teaching on the Old Testament teaching. You build the New Testament teaching into the Old Testament teaching, because they are interrelated. They explain one another. We said the New Testament without the Old Testament is incoherent, right? The Old Testament without the New Testament is inconclusive, okay? So you need to read both together. Like Jesus did in Luke 24:45, Luke says he opened their understanding that they might read the scriptures together. Understand the scriptures. So now the term fullness. Now in the morning, I said, pay attention to waters, right? You got that? Are you here? So waters, plural, pleroma. Then you have the second word in the Hebrew, mala, M-A-L-A, or M-A-L-E, male. So those two words, one is Hebrew, the other one is Greek. M-A-L-A and M-A-L-E are Hebrew words. And then you have plural, pleroma. Okay? It has three very unique features in description. For example, if you have a cup, Brother Higgins should tell it that way. You have a cup, and the cup is filled with water. That's pleroma. But it has also achieved something. It has fulfilled the maximum capacity of the cup. That means it has gotten to its goal, right? So number one, the water fills up. Number two, the cup is filled up. Do you understand? The water fills up. The cup is filled. No, there are two things. The water fills up the cup. The cup is filled up. Right? Can we take it again? The water fills up the cup. The cup is filled up. Then, very, very importantly, it also says that the cup has fulfilled its maximum capacity. So the word pleroma or male flows the same way. It goes the same way. Fills up. Filled up. It's now performing its function. Filled up. Fills up. Performing its function. So those three things explain the word filled. Are you here? Are you here? Okay, let's now bring it to pass. Bring it to light. God made the earth. Then it is tohu wa bohu, right? The earth is the space. But that earth that is the space is tohu wa bohu. The Lexham Septuagint Bible says uninhabited. Alright? Another one says it's without function. It's not functioning in his way. So I'm saying this is the earth now. So tohu wa bohu. Now what it means by that is that it's chaotic. It's out of order. And Jeremiah, let's say Jeremiah chapter 4, picks on that theme. So think about this, that the opposite of being filled with the glory of God is tohu wabohu, right? Without form and void. Just know that that is the opposite. Now, when they say empty, when the Old Testament says empty, it doesn't mean there's nothing there. Emptiness is a function. Is a description, an identity. It means it's confusion, right? Also, another way to say empty is darkness. Come on, are you here? Genesis 1:2. Can we also say emptiness means darkness? Okay, so darkness, confusion, out of order, huh? Out of order. So it's not empty like there's nothing there. It means there's something there, but it's performing an empty function. Are you here? Jeremiah chapter 4. Like I said yesterday, conclusions are a very wrong way to know scripture. Always know, how did we get there? How did we get to this point? When you know how we got to the point of eternal life, then the eternal redemption and salvation, it's clearer. More assuring than to say, my sins are forgiven, so I'm not going to hell. Are you here? Are you here? My sins are forgiven. This is Yakal House. So I can give you a gist. Right? All right. Now, a bit years ago, one of the things we do in our church is we try to, because we are charismatic and we are proud of it. Pride is a sin. And we're fine with it. We're charismatic, Pentecostal to an extent, you know, because I'm Pentecostal, I'm charismatic, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm Caribbean, I'm just everything, just look at me, I'm a Jehovah's Witness too, because I witness for Jesus, you know, I'm fine. I'm Methodist because I believe in Orthodoxy, amen, I'm Anglican because I speak in English. So, you know, we try to put a defense. So, now we had done the first book, Charismatic Ministry, which came out of a series we had done before at World Churches Conference 2013, in defense of the Charismatic Ministry. And the reason why I did it, because a man that I respect, not necessarily I don't respect his beliefs, but I respect him, did a conference called Strange Fire. And it took on the Charismatic Movement. And I knew him before then because he had been attacking Kenneth Hagin and the Word of Faith movement for a while. So we did a defense of that. But before then, I think in 2006, we had done a series concerning spirituals for about 3 years. Okay, got to about 120 sessions or so more. So we had done a series concerning spirituals where we explained the things of the Spirit. It took us 3 years to do that series. I think at that time was our longest series for a while. Yeah, thanks. So we also had another one called Concerning Gifts of God that got to about 70 sessions as well. So when we got to this point, I did a session. And a lot of people, and I'm not saying exaggeration, said the series helped them in clarifying the charismatic ministry, the gifts of the Spirit. But it wasn't sufficient. So we had a book, Charismatic Ministry, the book, the first one. But we're going to do a second one. So I said to myself that, well, somehow that explanation was limited. I read it and I felt, even though the reviewers liked it, but I, you know, because my training in law makes me foresee opponents. So I think, I said, let me stay on the other side and criticize this book. And I found loopholes in it. I can point this out. This is easy. I can dismiss this easily. So I sat back for months, and I said, what hermeneutic can we use that is in the Bible that can lay to rest any doubts? And I sat down for months. I said months. I mean months, almost on a daily basis. I'll walk and I'll be thinking, no, this is wrong. No, I'll attack this one myself. This one. You know, until we came to that hermeneutic of how to explain the gifts of the Spirit. And for many people that I gave it to review, they said, that hermeneutic was very rare and was more assuring. Even though what we said in the first volume was what we said in the second volume, the how was different. So don't get used to conclusions. My sins are forgiven yesterday, today, and forever. How? Then I said to you, remember, I now stirred your mind to think, to say, okay, if your sins are forgiven, yesterday, today, and forever, that means you have accepted there's an original sin concept. That is, sins can be admitted before the person came to the earth. So, which means you have to accept that we are all born sinners, you know, like Adam, and that's going to create a lot of problems. So, it therefore means that that conclusion can easily become a problem. All right. So, I remember someone said this years back. I think it was Gordon Fee. Gordon Fee is quite a very interesting man. He was in Foursquare. He's the one that originally holds the code. Even though people give that code to me, I've always told them it's not me. The scriptures cannot mean today what it never meant. He was the one who said it. Now, I added something. That's why my name is always on that code when it was written. But the first line is not me. Gordon Fee, spelled G-O-R-D-O-N-F-E-E, interestingly passed on just a few months ago. You know, he said that don't just make statements, look at the implication. That there is an implication to theology. So therefore, now that's why when you teach the subject of eternal salvation, which I can teach, you know, it's one of the easiest subjects, okay? But what's the implication of that explanation? So always note the implication of the explanation. I just told you now, it took me months. And I sat back. And Pastor Wallace, you know this. I said, look, we're going to have, this has to be different. The hermeneutic has, so interestingly, that volume 2 paved way for the volume 3 to look easier. Because it took me months. I'm sure about 9 months. And I'm thinking, you know, and arguing with myself. Sometimes I'm preaching on the pulpit and I'm arguing. They don't know I'm arguing. I'm contradicting myself, explaining it again, right on the pulpit, and you're looking, what's going on with this guy? You know, so that, why do we go to that extent? So that your faith can be firm. Is that clear? I mean, it's easy for a pastor to come up and just say, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Is it too big for God to forgive sins? Why are you arguing? That's logical, right? he said, it's not too big. Yeah, that's really lovely. That's been a good orator. Alright? But the truth is, the how matters. How did you get to this point? It's like, I mean, if you have taught students before, you know how people go to the back of the book? Is it people or you and I? I don't know what book you use here, but we use Understanding Mathematics. And you must have, at some point, the homework, You just go to the back. 46. 46. You know, how they got to 46, you don't care. So, you know, for those who cheat, not you, it's easier to cheat in the multiple choice. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. You just say, number one, A, number two, B, number... So, maybe as you're asking, say, Shagu, Shagu, then number four, B, B, B. Number two. Now, when you get to the theory part, explain comprehensively. Number one. You want to get me into trouble. How will I explain the whole of number one? So, many people are learning the word of God like multiple choice. You get it? The understanding is important, okay? Are you here? It's important. The understanding is very, very important. Okay. How did we get there? I know the thing about multiple choices. It's the same thing in multiple choice that will ask you right at the, the theory. The same subject. But this one, you have to now start explaining. You have to start explaining. You have to start explaining. What is this? What am I looking at? You see? Just say, only thou knowest as the answer. So the how is critical, right? Okay, good. So we were at, I thought it was open somewhere. Jeremiah 4, alright. So we're looking at the empty space, okay? So I said the way we say empty is not how they said empty. Emptiness is an identity, right? Not a container. Genesis 4, I'm sorry, Jeremiah 4. Learning something? Good. Now look at verse, I know I read this in March and 22. For my people is foolish, they have not known me, they are sottish children. Every time I read this verse, it looks like Scottish. And they have non-understanding. So he's describing people here. They are wise to do evil, Jeremiah 4:22, and to do good they have no knowledge. So look at 23. I beheld the earth, let's take it together. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was tohu wabohu. And the heavens, and they had no light. That is Genesis 1:2. It's describing a people this way. Let's take 24 together. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. And all the hills moved together, moved slightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. All the cities thereof were broken down, the presence of the Lord and by his first anger. Let's take 27 together. Thus saith the Lord, yet, so you can see that desolation, wilderness is also called tohu wabohu, right? So it doesn't mean there's nothing. It just means what is called nothing in the Hebrew is not a non-existence. It means lack of purpose. It means confusion. Confusion and darkness are called nothing. Are you here? So let's look at it. So, you have to now look at me now. This is the earth. The space. Let's call the earth space, because that's the word actually, eret, E-R-E-T-S, space. So, this is the space. So, if I'm talking to an Hebrew audience, and this space, there's nothing in it, what are they seeing? There is darkness, confusion, things are out of order. Now, does that include evil? Unbelief, ignorance, bondage. Are you here? Good. So, pay attention. So this is the space. To fill the space will mean to control the... Let's go back again. What is in this space? Darkness. Right? Is darkness a theme or a description? Good. So, confusion, a theme or description? Okay, chaos, a theme or description. So can we have dark people, dark spirits, confused people, people in bondage? So if this place is tohu wabohu, can it have people? Can it have spirits, chaotic spirits, evil spirits. So this emptiness describes chaos. So if I want to fill it up with my glory, what I'll be doing is to control. Right? Right? I am controlling. Can it also mean to disperse it? Huh? Okay? Can it also mean to convert it? Right? Light in darkness. Okay? So, I'm filling it up. That means I'm having control. Come on. Control. So, by the time I get to this point, pay attention, this space has fulfilled its purpose. So two things. We said the cup, the water fills up, the cup is filled up. So, which means when the cup is filled up, when the space is filled up, the space can now fulfill its purpose. Are you here? So, now, if this cup, this space, is filled with my glory, and in filling my glory, what I've done is, let me go back again. Now, there's darkness, there's confusion, there's chaos. So by filling it up, it also means I have put a stop to darkness, put a stop to chaos, put a stop to confusion, put a stop to evil. So that word stop is the Hebrew word Sabbath. So it works with rest. Come on. So God's rest, is it a nap or control? You get? Right. So God's rest is to put control. Control over what? Evil. Uh-huh. Darkness. Uh-huh. Chaos. Are you here? So, listen now. The opposite of tohu wabohu, can it be rest? Temple? Are you here? Can it be indwelling of the Spirit? The work of the Spirit? Tabernacle? Are you writing all this down? Huh? Can it also be the glory of God? Huh? Okay, so all these are synonymous to God's control, God's rule, God's way. Okay, one more. Can we also call, now look up now. I want you to be looking at me so that those who are not here and listening to it in teaching, they can wonder what we're doing. Ha ha. So now, can this also be called, remember, this is my spirit. Can this also be kingdom? Huh? Kingdom. Beautiful. Kingdom. All right, so this is rest. Don't forget. This is field, right? This is Sabbath, right? Okay, this is temple. Right? This is glory. Right? Can you get it now? So, by the time I get to this point, the space has now fulfilled its purpose. So the word plero, pleroma, and the word male, mala, has those three dimensions. Does it make sense to you? Are you here? So, can you see the reason why when Moses built the tabernacle, God demonstrated it to them by a physical sign that that temple was filled. I'm going to say something. Oh, you guys are tempting me. I will take the temptation. Now, this, when the glory filled the tabernacle, they saw the picture of the eventuality of what is going to happen where? On earth. Right? Okay, good. Which means that since they saw the glory fill the tabernacle, it therefore means every space in that place had the glory of God. Now think about the earth. That means every space in the earth will have what? Will have what? What is glory again? Influence? Authority? Come on! Good. Now what now happened to Moses? And it happened also in Solomon's temple. They could not enter. They couldn't enter. You know, Paul said, flesh and blood cannot enter. They couldn't enter. So, what will take them to enter? The blood. Now, I'm going to run through something quickly. Now, the first thing in your head, mind too, about blood is sacrifice for sins. Not necessarily. Are you here? Now, don't write yet so that you won't write something that will require forgiveness of sins. Now, the very first description of blood in the Bible is that the life of all flesh is in the blood. So the physical blood of animals was to represent what? Nobody can see the life of anyone. So the blood is a symbol of what? Life. So think about that. Blood is life. Blood represents life. So when I said blood, I meant life. Okay? The life. So what life is required in heaven and earth? It has to be supernatural. Are you here? It has to be supernatural. That's why they will take the blood and take it to the holiest of all, which is the ark, and put it there. And Jesus, as a man, eventually sat there. Now, I only said that to get you thinking. I was going to explain it today. That's why I said don't write it, okay? So, the blood. So, they couldn't enter. So, here's the tabernacle. Moses is going, oh. He couldn't enter it. Later on, they did. But that's just to show you that no one, from Genesis, through to Exodus, through to Malachi, and Book of Revelation, no one has merits when it comes to dwelling in God's place. There is no merit to it. It's going to be a function of God's grace. There is no merit to it. You cannot enter by yourself. Are you following this? You cannot enter by, it's not sin that is making you not enter. It's because you are a man. You cannot enter by yourself. So God made man to be deficient. You were created, right, to need help. God made man imperfect. So that perfection will be a function of faith in God. So you can't enter it. You can only enter it by grace through faith. I'm not talking about sins yet. It has to be by grace through faith. So that is why I said, okay, this is church or whatever I said in Lagos. And we said that faith is an intrinsic nature of man. God made man to believe. You know that Eve believed the serpent. Right? Because God made you to believe. There is no relationship that doesn't have faith. I'm saying your relationship even with your phone. See how unconsciously you use your phone, you're pressing it, and you're not looking at it. See how unconsciously you drive, you use your keys. That means it's intrinsic in man to believe. I believe when I put it on, it will start. I believe when I do this, it will go this way. Because it's intrinsic in man. Because you interplay with other things apart from you, other forces, other innovations, you need faith to interact in humanity. So the atheist looks dumb when he says, anyone who believes, you know, is unintelligent. No, you are the one that is not intelligent. Because everything relates by faith. Are you here? So, grace through faith is our access. When Paul was saying he quickened us together with Christ and made us a seat together with Christ in the heavenlies, Ephesians 2:6, 5 and 6, Then he says in the ages to come that he might show the kindness, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, by grace are you saved through faith. That's not just because you sinned, even though you sinned. Through faith, not of your own selves, not of works. It's the gift of God. Lest any man boast. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's back to Genesis. You enter by grace through faith. You enter by grace through faith. You enter by grace through faith. So it's not an afterthought of God that we should be saved by grace through faith. You understand what I'm saying here? It's not an afterthought. It's not an after sin fact. No. It's a solution to sin, but it's a solution that comes with creation itself. So that's how we enter. So let's get back to our narration. You hear? So being filled, let's take it again. Being filled is influence, kingdom, authority. Good. So being filled. So we can say being filled is the answer to chaos, confusion, bondage, darkness, evil. Who's following this? Being filled is the characteristic of where? God's temple. God's house. So we're going to bring you something right now. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Okay. So when he says, he blessed them, Genesis 1:28, and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. Okay? Can we put it together and say, be filled with the Spirit? Does it work? Does it work that way? Be filled with the Spirit. So, filled, don't forget the water narrative. We're dealing with rivers and seas. Hope you don't forget that one. Rivers and seas. The rivers of living water flows from where? The temple of God. Alright, into the chaotic seas. Can we say into darkness? Tohu wabohu? Bondage? Are you here? Alright, so it flows. Flows. So, let's see. Genesis 6. So, being filled is influence. Right? Come on. All right. Now, the way I do my notes, if I'm doing this, and I'm sure you listen to this teaching afterwards, I'll write it like a table. So, I said, Mali, Mala, field. These are the meanings. Right? These are the meanings. And when I write the meaning, I put a scripture that comes to heart. Put a scripture. So it makes sense. You get it? These are the meanings. Okay. So, now let us now use being filled negatively. We saw it in Genesis 6. Genesis 6, 11. The earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled. Controlled. 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 Ruled. Dominated. Kingdom. Influence. With what? Violence. Now, that takes us back to Genesis 1, 2. So is this tohu wabohu? Okay, look at verse 13. The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with the earth is filled with violence through. So, who gives characteristic to the identity of the earth? Man. You get it? So, the earth and man, do they have a singular identity? Come on, talk to me now, please. Do they? So if we are filled, the earth is? If the earth is filled, we are? Do you understand it now? Okay, good. So, Which means filled is influence. Filled is influence. So how does it get filled? How does it get filled? It gets filled by, can we say interaction? Influence and impacts on others. Come on. Are you with me? So it fills by interaction. Because he said, be fruitful, multiply. Take dominion. So man's interaction in the earth is what fills the earth. So what fills the earth now gives the earth its identity. Its identity. Are you with me?
I don't think you are. Because you're not answering me.
Are you with me?
Okay, let me preach something else. Let me preach
how you can become a hero from your zero level. Talk to people and tell them, you might be on the zero today. You're a hero tomorrow. Are you in a pit? What is a pit? Prophet in training. God is bringing you from the pit to the palace. You say, hey, tell me, come on. Are you here? All right. Amen. That's why we prayed. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Amen. Okay, so the earth is filled with people. Now watch this. The earth is, now let's, now watch this. Look up. The earth is filled with people. Filled by people. Full of people. Okay? So, what is in the people fills the earth. What is in the people, what? So, it first of all dominates the man, then it dominates his environment. Come on. Are we together? It first of all dominates the man, then it dominates his environment. Do you understand filled now? Huh? So filled is filled what we do personally or what we do with others. So take that. In mind. Remember Paul's prayer? That you be filled with the fullness of God. Then he instructs, be filled with the Spirit. Are you learning something? You learning something? Good. So, don't forget the water narrative. Over the seas. Over bondage. It flows. There's a river that makes that city of God. It flows. And Jesus now sends, this is by the way, he now calls Peter, James, and John. They are fishing in Matthew 4. And he says, follow me. Right? You will no longer catch fish. And you know, Jesus is so direct because in that Matthew, he went to Galilee. Galilee is for the nations, which means I know almost every country and city has this place where maybe settlers live. Maybe by chance or by whatever, they just can live there. So Galilee is where Gentiles stay. It's always called Galilee of the Gentiles. Now in the Bible we have Gentiles and Israel. Israel is a chosen nation. Right, Gentiles are the other nations. So you have Israel, Y-I-S-R-A-L-E, Israel. That's the nation that God chose. Israel comes from Jacob, the nation wrestling with God. That's what it means. The nation that is wrestling with God. That's what it actually means. It has power wrestling with God. Then we have Goy, G-O-Y, Goy, other nations. That is, that word is relative. When you say Israel, then you say other nations. Israel is chosen by God to bless other nations. So the nations Israel was sent to are called Gentiles. Is that very clear? Does it make sense? Good. So now, Jesus now goes to the, so there's a place in Israel, in Israel called Galilee. Galilee means Galilee of the Gentiles, where the Gentiles, the other nations are. Now, naturally, Israelites should love Galilee because God sent them to Galilee. But the unfortunate part was, by the time Jesus came, two problems were happening at the same time. A fellow not related to Judah or David, a total impostor, like an area boy, a thug, Herod, was the king. As though that was not bad enough, Rome, which is a Gentile nation, now dominated Israel. That's why we had Pilate and the centurion. So, rather than love the Gentiles and seek to save them and bring them to God in worship, they had disdain for the Gentiles. And felt, you useless people. Are you supposed to be here? You know, so they had that hatred. So Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee. Why? So he will show that he is a savior for where? The whole world. Are you here? Okay. So in Matthew 4, he meets Peter, James, and John at the Sea of Galilee. Now pay attention to whether, let's see it together. Okay, Matthew 4. Learning something? You learning something? Matthew 4. So if you have been reading your Bible and you know what sea is, this will make sense, right? Huh? Verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed to Galilee. All the four accounts, let's know he started ministry in Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the what? Matthew 4. Come on, what is it? The sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Let's take 14 together. That might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea. See how sea keeps coming up. That's a buzzer. Is it a buzzer? Landmark? Come on. Beyond Jordan, Galilee of the... Now, the people we sat in the great, in darkness, sea, darkness. Is it flowing? Saw great light. Darkness, light. Genesis 1. Genesis 1:3. Is that a buzzer? Oh, good. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is strong. Genesis 1:2 and 3. Are you here? Now watch this. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. No, let's do that. The earth shall be filled. Kingdom. Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:28. And he was walking, verse 18, by the sea of... How would you miss the sea narrative? Right? So, can we call the sea another description for the Gentiles? Huh? Is it flowing? Are you sure? He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the... Oh, no. This emphasis is too much now. You can't miss the buzzer. He goes, and a land of them, bam, 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 bam. See. For they were fishers. Then he said, follow me, and I will make you what? Can I say, I will send you to men in bondage, those in darkness. Are you here? Come on. All right. The rivers flowing from Eden. All right. As the waters cover. Come on now. Are you getting this? Is this making sense? Thank you. That was a side comment. That was just a teaser. I just gave you an appetizer. All right. So you can see bosses. Pam, 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 pam. Old Testament verbiage. So field is influence. So if they go to the Gentiles, is that the waters covering the seas? Huh? By the Spirit. The waters covering the seas. I mean, add something very quickly. That at a point, because Israel eventually now started worshiping idols like the Gentiles, the prophets now equated Israel with the seas. But that's not for today. So they were sent to those who were in chaos, who were in darkness. Are you here? So I'll make you, I've heard people say that, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Which means your career is your ministry. He saw them fishing. And he said, I'll make you fishers. If today your job is a beautician, I'll make you a beautician of men. Absolute rubbish. Okay? He himself was a carpenter. So how does that sound? He didn't make any kind of sense, right? You know, your career is your ministry. Well, I shoot. I'm a policeman. I'll make you killers of men. Doesn't make any sense, right? So field is influence. Come on. Right? Field, just get back to the Old Testament. Let's see a few things. Field is influence. So let's track the word Mala. Field, don't forget, is influence. Exodus 1:7. Let me say something again that it will make a lot of sense. Now pause. This is, don't think the Bible dropped. It didn't drop. The Bible is a book that was intelligently put together. So the words that were used were deliberate. So don't miss out on any word. A very simple thing in Bible study, when you see repetition, pay attention. That word is important. You see how many times we saw field in the first 6 chapters. Right? Field, 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 field. You see waters also. Waters, flood. It's too consistent to miss it. Alright? Now, the writers of scripture, they put it in, like I said, people, like the Bible is like a literature where you use grammar, you use genres, things that should communicate. So, because nothing was written real time, and the Holy Ghost just held their hand, right? Don't say, no. They sat down, having known what God had to say, and use the best vocabulary possible to communicate it. Is that very clear? So when you see words recall, pay attention. The author means something. In Exodus 1:7, I know very easily we'll just bypass that word. Exodus 1:7. And the children of Israel were, how do you miss this? Go on. And wax. And the land. Abba. How will you miss this one? You can't miss it. That means they had influence. Right? Influence. This is the reason why the king that arose was threatened. Now, this shows you there is no way, Pastor, there is no way you can think like God and not think about numbers. How? How? The Genesis mandate is numbers. There's no way. Because we're supposed to color the identity of this earth. So as soon as he saw it, oh my God, he saw them everywhere. So, can we say therefore that influence threatens the devil? Come on. Influence. What about numbers? Does it threaten the devil? Now go to Exodus 40. Exodus 40:34. Don't forget this is the tabernacle. We'll track back again. Exodus 40:34. And a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is why Moses could not enter. Do you get it? It was in control of the tabernacle. Verse 35. Because the glory abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now go to chapter Numbers 14:21. Okay. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with what? Okay. Can we say with God's people? God's men and women? With God's influence. Because we saw in Genesis 6 that the way a place is filled is through men. Okay? Come on. It's through men. Deuteronomy 26 and 12. So, to fill a place, influence, numbers, authority. Are you here? Okay, 12. It says, and that thou made the end of tithing of all the tithes of the like increase. Then that's the one we read in the money. They will talk about in the money. The third year, this is the tithe of tithing, the giving to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows, and they may eat within the gates and be filled. That is satisfied. Alright? Satisfied. Then chapter 31, verse 20 as well. To be satisfied. So filled is to get to the completion. We mentioned that earlier. And be satisfied. So Exodus 35. I think that's where I was going. Exodus 35. Sorry. Exodus 35. And verse 31. Asaph from 30. Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezahil, the son of Huri, the son of Or, of the tribe of Judah. He had filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to devise curious works, to work in gold, in silver, and in brass. So this guy was going to be responsible for the making of a tabernacle. But you ask, what's the big deal? Why does it have to be filled? Because a tabernacle will take what? Revelation. Right? So the being filled there is not just the skill. The skill is useful, yeah? But being filled there is being filled with God's purpose. Are you here? Now, listen carefully to this. Now, being filled here, this is the first time in Scripture that it's used for, one second, that this same terminology is used for a person. Chapter 31, verse 3. Same guy. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all manner of workmanship to define works. Exodus 31 and 3. Now, let me now ask you. Is the field about its skillfulness or about its service? So through his service, it will influence. So being filled means, doesn't mean it's going to work for us? Come on. And whatever he does, will it influence us? Okay. So which means he's filled with God's purpose. So being filled is influence. Can we say being filled is service? Service. To serve. Can we also say to do something for others? Come on. To do something for others. Let's track back a bit. There's one that looks like it, but it doesn't use field. Genesis? And 47. No, 47. 41. When Joseph interpreted the dream. Okay? Now, hold on. I'm going to show you something. So, being filled with the Spirit, let's just add this note. Being filled with the Spirit was used for Bezahil Because, now look up so you get this. Because it was serving whose purpose? Good. And it had service to who? People. Whatever he was doing, others were going to. Are you here? What else? He's building God's temple. Very important. So there was now a story before them where you have Joseph interpreted the king's dream. Then in verse 38, Genesis 41, Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the spirit of God," actually the Hebrew, the spirit of the gods, that's what he actually said. "The spirit of the unseen people, unseen beings is." And he said to Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there's none so discreet and as wise as you are. Thou shalt be over my house, according to my word. Thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in throne will I be greater than you." Except you are missing something. This happened to Jesus. You following this? This happened to Jesus. So you have to build. To build a house. So, to build a house, to build a city, to keep a city, being filled. Being filled. So being filled is to build a house, to build a tabernacle, to serve, to influence, to do something for others. Is that better? Can we say being filled is do something for others? Come, we're thinking together now. To do something for others. Being filled. Now, if it's being filled with the Spirit of God, can we say to do something for others, to build his house, and to fulfill God's plan? Huh? Can we say to align with God's plan? Are you here? So we're bringing it home now, right? To align with God's plan. Now, let's get back a bit. Some revision. What is the earth? The space. Meant for? What is the earth? Meant for? Meant for the glory of God. Meant to be the house of God. But we found in Genesis, it's filled with darkness, chaos. So, God made man in his image to make the earth his. To make the earth his home. So, and it starts by man being in his image. Okay? So, you, the image of God, the house of God, now influences the earth to be the house of God. Okay? Okay. So, being filled is to do something for others. Are you getting it? Let's pause a bit. Is it okay? Is it okay? Is it okay? Is it okay? Is it okay now? So, being filled with the Spirit, or being filled, means to influence others. To influence others. It also means, can we say, it means God to influence others through you? Huh? To influence others. God, Spirit, to influence others through you. So let's look at it. So if you are filled with rage, if you have, and the people, because we're going to look at that as well, and the people were filled with anger, it means he got angry. When he spoke to me, I got angry. When I told you, we all got angry. You get it? Being filled. Because man is a product of influence. So, that's how things are filled. Are you here? Learning something? You learning something? We're still talking about Paul's prayer. Is that okay? Be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. So, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Before we go there, I know things will have been arranging themselves already. Right? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? We know being filled means to influence others, to be influenced to influence others, right? To give a place an identity, right?
Yeah.
Or people. We also saw kingdom, right?
Kingdom. Yeah.
So we also said, is increase also there? Ah, excellent. So numbers are important, okay?
Good.
So let's get to the New Testament. Learning something? Are you okay? Are you okay? So when it says, as I leave, Numbers 14:21, the earth shall be filled with my glory. How is he going to do it? Has he changed his pattern? When the earth was filled with violence, in Genesis 6, did God fill the earth alone? He used who?
Noah.
When the earth was filled with, let's call it violence, in Genesis 11, they sought to build a tower to God. Now, did he start it alone? Who did he find?
Abraham.
You hear? Are you following? He found a man. So, God's method is always a... So when we say the earth shall be filled with the glory of God, it's not by saying it. It means, Lord, we're ready to join in. His method is man. Are you learning something? Man is his method. If the earth will be filled with violence, what is going to be the method again?
Man.
So when Paul, go to Ephesians 5:18. Hope you are landing safely. Are we landing well? Oh my God, not everybody is saying it. Are we landing well? We're good? Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now that's easy to pick out from the whole bunch. Let's read from 15. Okay? Let's read from 14. Let's go. Read. Is that Genesis? Good. 16. 14, sorry. 15. Circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. For the days are evil. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Now, is Genesis also redemption? Okay, now read 17. Understanding what the... Can you see it now? So look at where we're coming from. Light, walk, purpose, will. Then look at 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Pause. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. The first person that comes to my mind is Noah. Because Noah did not fulfill it. So it means that in being filled with the Spirit, we watch our appetite. Be not drunk with wine. If you're reading Genesis, the first guy who took wine and got drunk was Noah. And you know, there were two scenarios in Genesis where wine made people do terrible things. The first was who? You don't read it. Oh, come on. What? The second one? Lot. One guy said to me, well, I don't think taking alcohol is a sin. No, it's not. Well, the Bible just tells us, the Bible just tells us to moderate it. So I said, please, what exactly is the measure of the moderation? Well, it depends on your capacity. Imagine coming to church and pastor says, and he says, today I want to talk about the measures of wine. As a believer, just take a cup. And he says, please bring the kind of cup according to your capacity. Now, if you are influencing people who are your disciples And they come to your house and they just see a glass of cognac. Just a glass. While you're praying in tongues, reading your Bible. How are you, Brother John? He looks at you. He can't afford cognac. So he goes for the fresh one. You've not taught him the measures. So Brother John comes to church. I have stepped into the wine, so into the wine. Say, don't do that. Don't do what? That's why Paul said, when you are in the temple of God, even though it's not about your conscience, it's about the conscience of the other man. Because when we're filled with the Spirit, we serve. It's not about my appetites. Are you here? Learning something there? So, be not drunk with wine, wherein is the excess. Right? But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. When he said that, were they reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The book of Acts? They remember Bezaleel. They remember the Genesis mandate. Be filled with the Spirit. That means allow God to influence others through you. You learning something here? So let's see the examples. Can we also say, align with God's plan in the earth? Does it work? Huh? Alright. Align with God's plan in the earth. So let's see in the book of Luke. Luke's Gospel 1. Are you learning something, church? Luke's Gospel 1. Can I pray for other believers to be filled with the Spirit? Huh? Obviously. That Ephesians 3:16 to 19, being filled with the fullness of God, is also being filled with the Spirit. So I can pray for those that I teach. I pray, Lord, that they are filled with the Spirit. Is that clear? Luke's Gospel 1. Are you in church? Verse 41. This is Elizabeth, the cousin to Mary. Mary had just had a visitation by the angel. She's going to carry the Messiah and all of that. And then in verse 41. No, before that. Sorry. Verse 15. Talking about John the Baptist. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, but shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That means he's going to serve. Huh? So look at verse 41. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's take 42 together. Spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord, is this service? Service? Is she aligning with God's plan in the earth? Is this a psalm? Is this a psalm? Yeah. Worthy of praise. Does it glorify God? Look at verse 45. Blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Word of knowledge? Word of wisdom? Is there a revelation there? So when we're filled with the Spirit, do we interplay with the supernatural? Huh? Are you here? Why? Because God is working in us. Now, is God's will being coming to pass in this scene? Huh? Come on. Is God introducing his plan in the earth? Come on, that's what's going on. Luke 1:67. Anyone learning something here? Luke 1:67. No, let's see one more thing. I'm gonna skip this one. Luke 1:46. Let's see the influence. And Mary said, Influence? My soul magnified the Lord. My spirit rejoices. Mary now gives a long psalm. Up
till verse 55.
See how it works. You see how it works? Luke 1 again. And 67. Let's take it together. And his father, that is Zechariah, was filled and what? Prophesy, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Is there a psalm? Does he praise God? Is it a hymn? Is it the song given to him by the Holy Ghost? Yes. Is he announcing God's plan in the earth?
Yep. Being filled with the Spirit.
Luke 4:1. You learning something? Oh, come on, guys. You learning something? Verse 1, Luke 4. Let's take it together. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. So, being full of the Holy Ghost, we are also led by God to fulfill His purpose and plan. So, is being full of the Holy Ghost about us or about God? When it's about God, it has to be about others. Is that very clear? So, being full of the Holy Ghost. Luke is Paul's disciple. And so therefore, he mastered it. He's like the user of the word filled with the Holy Ghost in New Testament books. So watch this. Acts 2. Quick one. 1-4. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as a rush of mighty wind filled all the house. Where? Filled has come up again. Filled will mean it moved from one person to another. Are you here? Filled shows a flow. So which means that we are God's house. God can flow from me to you. And from you to you to you to you to you. That's the nature of his earth, right? And his temple. Okay? So it says verse 2. And there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. Look at 4. Let's take 4 together. Filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. Come on, church, are you here? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the temple of God, right? The house of God. Right? The influence of God. Chapter 4. In verse 8. Peter. Now, let me now ask you a question. Why is it that the evidence of being filled is speaking? You know, it's logical. Who can give me an answer quickly? Why? Why? Why is that when you are filled, you speak? Why? Huh? You are full, I know. How do we influence ourselves? That's it. Words are the primary way we are all influenced. Even your name, it was words. Words. Words are powerful. So words are, how did God influence the earth? He said. Genesis 1:3, right? So that is why the speaking is the primary evidence. It's the primary evidence. It's not the only one. The speaking. So if somebody is full of the Spirit, the way I will know is by how he talks. Is that very clear? Can you see? Have we explained it logically? Is it clear? Come on, is it clear, guys? So, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4:8. Peter, being full of the Spirit, right? Said. So there is no quiet filling of the Holy Ghost. Because there is no one who influences anyone without words. Now look at Acts 4. When they were threatened, everybody was so threatened, oh boy. And they said, we don't want to hear you preaching Jesus' name anymore. Then verse 22 to 23, they came back to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said. And then the whole church lifted up their voice in one accord and began to pray. They prayed with Psalm 2. And look at verse 30. Let's take verse 30 together. Acts 4, 30. Let's go. 31, sorry. 31. And they were all and began. See, how were they filled? By praying. How were they filled? By speaking the word of God. So, whether the influence or you influencing others is going to be by speaking. You learning? You learning something? If you are filled with anger, it's the same thing. Okay? Are you here? Acts 6. In Acts 6, they were looking for those who will be deacons. Okay? We call them deacons later on, but it simply means those who will serve. And the deacons in Acts 6 were basically associates of the pastors. That's what they were. So, they said, well, verse 2. It is not reason, the apostles now say, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Look among yourselves. Pay attention now. Seven men of honest report. That means we can attest. Right? That means that when we look at those men amongst the church, we say, oh God, no. When it comes to punctuality, Brother Matthew, we have that report. Then he says, full of what? The Holy Ghost. And wisdom. That means being full of the Holy Ghost, something we are all going to see. We can see it. It's not something that happens in your bedroom. Being full of the Holy Ghost must happen around people. You can say, I was in my room yesterday, Pastor. I was just filled with the Holy Ghost. You are just enjoying yourself. Being filled is what you do to us. Full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Acts 13 and 9, Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said to Elymas the sorcerer, you won't see the sun for a season. He's carrying out God's plan, right? He had an effect on Elymas. Not just Elymas, on the deputy. Who's following this? Come on. So being filled with the Spirit, pay attention, is to have effect on others. It has to do with you and others. Let's take one last one. Acts 9. I purposely skip this one because I want us to read it together. Acts 9. 2, actually. Acts 9. And verse 31. Then at the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and were edified. Wow. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And were what? Now, why did he say that? Because when Paul got saved, he was just causing trouble. He was preaching things that he couldn't explain well. And it brought problem to the church. Now, when you handle the word of God hastily like that, you create persecution for us. So you know what Peter said? Hey, bro, Paul! So I just bought a ticket to Tarsus. He said, one-way ticket. Go. As soon as Paul left, he said the church had rest and it started growing. Sometimes why we are not growing is some guys that are just using the word of God for competition, to fight. You go into another person's church and go and tell them their pastor is not a man of God. He doesn't teach true doctrine. Then they start getting upset. They start fighting. So on evangelism, rather than getting money, I say, no! No! You are not saved forever. I'm saved forever. Your pastor is a devil. Your pastor is the archdevil. That was what Paul was doing. When they came for his life. Thank God for basket. And I think more than that, thank God for his size. Because sometimes your size can hinder the miracle. Bro, you can't enter. I knew that would get to you. Acts 13. Acts 13. I mean, it takes a lot to enter a basket. A lot of exercise, trimming your weight, watching your belly, Shandai. Acts 13, verse 52. Let's take it together. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. That means we can influence one another through joy and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Did you learn something? You learn something? Real good? Being so get to fill the Holy Ghost tonight. Is that clear? But we do have a good foundation. You have a good foundation. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Let's just bless the Lord this afternoon.